Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It seems like a no-brainer, doesn't it, when God says choose life? After all, who wants to choose death? Don't we want to choose life? When I read that, I thought, well, of course we do. Except when I look around at our habits, I realize it's easier to choose death than life. Just think about it. We have known for years what smoking will do to us, and yet there are still people who light up because it's easier. And for those who said, well, I really don't want to smoke because that's bad for me, there was a new product that came out that said, this will eliminate all the problems of smoking. It's called vaping. And so all these people got hooked on vaping, and I think the new slogan for vaping should be, we'll kill you faster. Think of Adam and Eve. They had all the fruit of this beautiful garden, and what did they do? Let's pick the fruit of the death tree. You know, the one that God says you're going to die if you take it. It's easier to choose death than life. We have a culture that glorifies violence. And I learned about that. It's kind of hardwired into us. Because I know when my son was about 14, he was given a video game for a gift. But I looked at the qualifications for that game, and it said 17 and older. So I said, you're not touching that game. Well, he started on a campaign. Have you had kids like that who start on campaigns? Now, I was pretty good. I held the line till he was about 16. And then he kept the campaign ratcheted up, and he said, I really want to play this game. It was called Skyrim. So I said, okay, you can play the game. And I sat and watched. Well, what was the first thing the kid did? He opens up the game, he starts it, he gets his character, and he sees a chicken in his path. And he says, oh, a chicken! And he promptly murders the chicken. And then all the village people in the game murdered him. He thought this was great. When he gave his farewell concert here, his signature piece was the theme of that violent video game, Skyrim, and he played it with such gusto that he broke a string in the piano. We kind of cling to death, even though we say we choose life. So I want to talk about three men who chose life. And the first one was the Apostle Paul. Well, we know a great deal about Paul. We know that he was a man of high estate. He was a man of high birth. He had political connections. He had financial connections. And when he found Jesus, he gave all of that up. And by the time we read his letter to Philemon, he's in jail because no good deed goes unpunished. And yet the man tells us in some of his other writings that the life he chose, the life of suffering, the life of prison, he said, everything I had before was trash in comparison with this. He chose life. And it wasn't just life for himself, but look at the life he has given for thousands of years as we come to read his writings and find out about the blessed life in Jesus. His work and his life lives on in churches all over the globe. He chose life. And then the second man was Onesimus. And I kind of admired Onesimus because he was a clever guy. He was in a system that automatically chose people who were to be enslaved and people who were to be free. And in that time in the Roman Empire, there were more people in slavery than people who were free. And so he was an enslaved human. He was in a household, and if Philemon was as good a man as Paul says, He must have been a good master, but he was still a master. And Philemon could not think for himself. He could not work for himself. He could not earn money. And so he was in this system that was systemically unjust. And he decides he doesn't want any of this anymore. So he's going to escape. Well, if somebody escapes in that time, if they were caught, the master could have them maimed or killed. So he was taking an awful chance. But he was very clever, because it sounds like he purloined some of his master's cash. And that cash was able to get him over 1,000 miles away. So here he is in Rome, 1,000 miles away from his master, a free man, and he ends up in the Hoosgow. Probably because he ran out of money and he had to find some way to earn money. And, you know, maybe he was pickpocketing or whatever he was doing, but he ends up meeting Paul in jail. And in that encounter, he finds Jesus, and his life is transformed. And it's so transformed, he is so grateful to Paul that he ends up serving Paul, not as his slave, but as a fellow laborer. He loved Paul so much that whatever Paul needed, Onesimus would do for him. And can you imagine the conversation when Paul finally takes all the pieces and finds out from Onesimus that he's actually the property of somebody that Paul knows? And Paul says, you know, Onesimus, you got to go back. And I'm sure Onesimus said, say what? He said, yeah, you got to go back. And he said, I'll send a letter with you. And that's the letter we have today. So he sends this letter from himself to his friend Philemon. And he says, Onesimus, you got to go back and face the music. And Onesimus chose life, because sometimes life means we have to go back and correct the wrong. And so he went back with this letter in his hands. It was a very brave thing to do. I think of another person who faced the music. His name was Charles Colson. Chuck Colson was what they called Nixon's hatchet man. He famously said, I'd run over my own grandmother to get the man reelected. So this is the kind of guy you want on your side. Well, he ran afoul of the law, but he was very well connected, and he had the best price lawyers. And he tells of the day that he found Jesus. And of course, the press had a field day with it, because he said, well, yeah, he found Jesus. He's ready to go to jail. He found Jesus. So here he is, finding the one that loves him and forgives him. And he went to his lawyer and said, change my plea, because I am guilty. Now, his high-priced lawyer did not want to do this, because he said, you know, maybe we can get you off, or maybe we can make a plea or something. He said, no, I am guilty. You see, choosing life doesn't mean choosing the easy path. It means choosing the right path. And Chuck was rewarded by going to prison. But it was in prison that he began to see some of the dark side of the prison system. And when he got out, he formed the prison fellowship, which ministers to people to this day who are incarcerated. Choose life. Choosing life means obedience. And then there was Philemon. Now, we're not told if Philemon obeyed Paul, but I have to think he did, because otherwise there would have been another letter. Paul was not one to be disobeyed. If you read some of his letters, he could get really tough with people who disobeyed him. But we have this lovely letter, and we have a footnote in history. Because Paul had told Philemon, don't just bring him back. Bring him back as your beloved brother. I think Philemon did that, because decades later, A historian wrote about a beloved bishop, a bishop who loved his people, a bishop who cared for his flock and was highly respected, and his name was Onesimus. You see, Philemon also chose life, not the life of an overlord, not the life of privilege, but the life that brought a beloved brother into the fold. That was so culturally countercultural, because this is not what he was taught. There was a caste system. There was a way you dealt with people. But you see, he chose life, which is the higher law. And the higher law is whatever the culture says is one thing, but we follow Jesus. And Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, love those who despitefully use you. And Jesus said, love your enemies. And Jesus said, bring those that are different from you close to you. This is what we do if we choose life. It is not the easy path, but it's the most wondrous. And I pray that today, when we have these choices to make, that we will choose life. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for Paul, who threw it all off, all the trappings of wealth and a good life, to live a great one. We thank you for Onesimus, who faced the wrong and tried to right it, and who became a great bishop of the church. We thank you for Philemon, who shook off his culture to bring a slave to be a beloved brother. And we ask, O Lord, for us in this day and age, no matter what people or our culture or society say, that we may follow the path that you have laid out before us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.